You might recall that a number of weeks back I started to share some thoughts from Psalm 121, and we haven't returned to that psalm since, but we're going to this morning. And the last time we were looking at verse 1 when I considered the fact that the children of Israel looked up to the hills and the mountains and beyond them to look to the Lord as their helper. And they reminded us that so can we. For their God is our God. Their helper is our helper. I concluded the last time with the words of a song which goes like this. When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom you can depend. He is faithful to the end. Fix your eyes upon him. So I look back to see when it was that I shared those thoughts, and it was further back than even I realised. And it was the Sunday morning of April the 14th. And as I began to look at this psalm again this week and think back to that time on the 14th of April, I wonder in that period of time how many of us have found ourselves in circumstances where beside our normal, and by that I mean our daily devotion, prayer, or whatever, but besides our normal look to the Lord, we have found a moment of time where we have suddenly needed to cry out more than ever because our circumstances have become despondent. They may have become desperate. Our circumstances may have been difficult. And it's possible that we may even have been found in a situation that was dangerous. And at that moment of time, we have needed extraordinary help. We could say that we've needed an emergency supply of God's help, of God's grace, of God's strength and God's favour. You remember in one of his letters that Paul talks about the fact that he had a thorn in the flesh, and we won't go into what that was, but whatever it was, he says that he kept pleading with the Lord to take it away from him. He was in a situation where he was despondent, he was desperate, and he needed something to be done about it. And the Lord came back and said to him, that my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And the Lord would remind each one of us this morning, whatever the circumstances and situations that we are going through, that his grace will be sufficient. For each and every one of us, his grace will be sufficient. And he's got an abundant supply of grace. It's never going to run out. So the more grace you need, the more grace he's got to give you. What a God. What a God. Who has that supply abounding towards each one of us. Sometimes in life we may consider things generally now and wonder, who can I turn to for some help or advice? Maybe the one that we would normally go to is not available, or maybe not even any more available. I used to have, I don't have to describe him really, my wife's husband, but he was brought up in Hereford with me. We both worked as elder in the same church. He became the pastor. I became the leading elder alongside him. And then he was moved from Hereford and went into full-time ministry. And then I was moved from Hereford, or went from Hereford into full-time ministry, into ministry. And this guy, his name was David, my wife's cousin, my cousin-in-law, you could put it that way. He was the one that I always went to. And he always came to me. Twice a year we would have conferences that we would both be at, and we'd go to either of each other's rooms, wherever we were staying, and we would just pour our hearts out to each other. We would confide in each other. We would speak to each other those things that we needed help about, those things that we needed to share confidentially. Sadly, he died, and suddenly I realised I didn't have his friend. I couldn't go to him anymore. But there's one thing about you, whatever the dilemma is, we know that we can go to the Lord. He's always there. He's 24/7 there. And in Psalm chapter 3, verse 4, we read these words. It's the words of David, and he says this: I cried unto the Lord. Step one. I cried unto the Lord. And then it says, and he heard me. Isn't that wonderful? I cried, he heard. But then he goes on to say where he heard from. He said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. So we got the hill again, or the mountain, whichever word you want to use. So go back to the verse. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Notice it's plural. Hills. So let's make sure the hills we look up to are firstly the hill called Calvary, where we meet our wonderful Saviour, who bled and died for each one of us, the only one that can forgive us and grant us eternal life. We need to look to the hill of Calvary. And then we need, taken from Psalm 3 again, we need to look up to the holy hill, the place where God is. So we look to the hill where our Saviour died, and we look to the hill where our God resides. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. But, and I hope that this isn't the case, looking back to April the 14th, it is possible that there could be, and I hope it's not the case, someone here this morning, that you have gone through difficulty and something else, and yet you may have failed to know the help available because you didn't look up to the one that can give you the help. Trust that's not the case this morning. But let's all know and be confident in the fact that we can look to the Lord for our help. Now, as I've gone through this psalm, we're only going to look at two parts this morning again. But I've deliberately chosen some words beginning with S. Some of them are deliberately found in the psalm anyway. But this is what we find, six things altogether. From verse 3a, we find that he gives us stability. He gives us stability. The second part of verse 3, we can be assured of this, that he never sleeps. Isn't that wonderful? He never sleeps. Verse 5, he gives us shade or protection. In verse 6, he gives us safety. In verse 7, he gives us security. And in verse 8, we find he keeps us in step, which takes us right back to verse 3a again. He keeps us stable as we're walking through this world. So we're just going to look at the first two this morning. And the first one is that he gives us stability. Now, I've got a book. I've actually got hundreds and hundreds of books. But I've got one book in particular, which is all about New York's skyscrapers. You think, why on earth do you want a book on New York's skyscrapers? Well, because they fascinate me. That's the simple answer. But I've also got another book, which I had from John Armstrong, which is all about the world's most famous bridges. And again, that book fascinates me as I look through it. But there's one thing when you think about skyscrapers and you think about bridges that they all need to ensure as they're building them that they are built on a firm and a solid foundation. Common sense tells us, doesn't it? It's necessary. I wouldn't want to go up a skyscraper that wasn't on a solid foundation. And I wouldn't want to cross a bridge that wasn't fixed firmly in the ground in the ends or in a pylon in the middle. I wouldn't hesitate. I'd stop. I wouldn't cross it. And the book on the bridges states that the design has to be such of any bridge that it needs to be able to cope with four types of forces. Now, I don't understand all of this. I'm just telling you what the book says. And these are the four forces: tension, compression, shear, and torsion. Now, a while back, either when preaching or in a devotion, I mentioned about a skyscraper in San Francisco. It's become known as the Tilting Millennium Tower. It opened in the year 2009. It's 197 metres tall. For those of us that still deal with the good old-fashioned weights and measures, that's 646 feet or 215 yards. But within a few years, I think it was only a matter of about 5 or 6 years, that tower has already sunk 45 centimetres down. And it's already leaning to the northeast. And so what they've had to do is they've had to step in and they've had to go very, very deep into the ground and underneath to put some fresh pilings under this tower so that eventually it will push back to where it should be. And what's happened is that it's turned out to be a very expensive program. And yet to date, the problem has not yet been fully resolved. Now, why have I told you all that? You think, how's that relevant to what I want to share this morning? Well, it's as simple as this. We need to ensure that we have a solid foundation, our lives. And it must be that of God himself and of his word. For if we do not build our lives with the foundation of God himself and of the word of God, there is without any shadow of doubt this fact: we will totter, we will fail, we will fall. There will be a tilt in the wrong direction in our lives. See, if we fail to build our lives with a stability that only God's word can give, we will be like that tower. We're going to be in trouble. And sometimes, as I discovered from this tower, it can cost a lot to get back on track. And so we need stability. And it comes from the Lord, who is our helper. I want to suggest that just as everything needs to be put in place to enable a bridge or structure to handle the various forces, as I've mentioned already, everything, I want to remind us this morning, has been put in place in God's word. Everything has been put in place in God's word to enable us to stand against any and every force that we will come up against. I mentioned four: tension, compression, shear, and torsion. And we, as people of God, as God's children, we will have so much that will seek to break us and will seek to destroy us. It could be the forces or the powers of darkness. It could be the forces of peer pressure. It could be even our own human weaknesses and fleshly desires. It could be fear. It could be worry. It could be anxiety. And we could list so many forces, pressures that will come against us as we're living in this world today. But what we need to do is we need to come to the holy hill. And we can come and dig into the foundation of God's word. Because God has everything lined up perfectly and exactly to keep us and to ensure that we have stability in this unstable world in which we are living. And I'm going to make a comment that many outside of here would probably disagree with, but it is actually undeniable. We who hold firmly to the word of God and build our lives upon the word of God are the most stable people in this world. So if you built your life upon the word of God, you're the most stable person in this world. And I am. We are. Because listen to what it says in Psalm 125, verse 1. It says, those who trust in the Lord and like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. And I like the New Living Translation for this verse, and this is what it says. Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. And yet, as we can claim this morning that we are the most stable people in this world, because we built our lives upon the foundation of the Word of God, the unbelieving world, those outside, those who have not learned to trust in the Lord, would rather come at us and use a word which is used so much today. They would rather say, you're a bigot. They call us a bigot. Because we do not bend to political pressure. Because we do not conform to any and every ideology that the world is throwing out. And we do not conform to the standards of the ungodly. Or I hope we don't. For we base our morality and we base our standards according to what God has established in his words. And so in doing so, although they would brandish us as bigots, and if we are called bigots, we need to remind ourselves that we are what God sees us as. And God sees us as Bible-believing Christians. And we're the folk that God's going to honour. We're the folk God's going to honour. Now, some of my family don't like it when I publicly speak up or speak out in certain places. I'm known for it within my family. And we know what month it is at the moment. Thank God that there seems to be less of it being shoved in our faces as there has been in the last few years, but I'm one that is vocal. And so I will go into McDonald's and I will issue a complaint about all the stuff they got brandished about their restaurant pushing this evil ideology. I will go into Tesco's and I will complain to the management about them brandishing all this stuff. I will go into Sainsbury's, I will go into Dunham, I will go into anywhere where they're pushing this disgusting ideology, and I will speak up and I will speak out. In fact, we were in Sainsbury's a couple of weeks ago and I was horrified to find amongst the book section, the children's book section and the section which my grandson that's here could be buying to do, puzzle books, colouring books that were pushing the awful agenda of the LGBTQ. Down on a level low enough for them to see. So what do? I get all of them. Every single one of them. And I move them and hit them in the store to stop the children from seeing them. Listen, we've got to learn to speak up. We've got to learn to speak out. We need to rise up as the army of God. Because if we don't oppose, they'll just go further. Further. And further. So they'll use up, in the end of the day, every letter of the alphabet to describe something that's immoral and ungodly and against the foundation of God's word. We need to be the force for good. Those who will make an effort to attempt to bring stability back again into our crumbling society. Remember the sinking tower? Our society is sinking faster than the tower because they are taking away the once solid foundation, the Word of God, upon whom and upon which we build our lives. So I believe as we stand upon the Word of God, we're the most stable people in society. And they can call us whatever they like. I don't care, because God sees me. Someone who's willing to stand upon his word and be faithful to what his word says. Secondly, God never sleeps. So if you're sleeping now, it's time to wake up. God never sleeps. This is amazing because we can call on God 24/7. Jeremiah 3:33 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Now, I guess you and I, we wouldn't be too keen about being disturbed at 2 in the morning. I know I wouldn't. I used to be an accident recovery driver, and it was nothing for me to get a phone call from the police at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and I'd have to get up and I'd have to go and do a recovery from an accident, take the vehicle back to the workplace, go back home, and still have to get up to get to work for 7 or 7:30 in the morning. I did it because it was my job. Sometimes it could happen twice in a night. Get back home and you get a call out again. And so I didn't really appreciate being woken up in the middle of the night. Now if you need to call me in the middle of the night, you can do, okay? I'm your pastor. But there's a slight problem. I may not hear the phone. So you might get a response from me in the morning. But God never sleeps. Psalm 5:3 says, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." In Psalm 55:17 it says, "Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice." And Psalm 6:6 says, "I am weary with my moaning every night." So we've got morning, noontime, evening, night. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. And then Psalm 6 verses 8 to 9 says, "Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer." Isn't that wonderful? Morning, noontime, evening, in the middle of the night, we can come and call upon the Lord and be assured that he will hear, if it's weeping, the sound of weeping. If it's pleading, he will hear the pleading. And the Lord accepts my prayer. And God, through Jeremiah, says in Jeremiah 29, verse 12, "Then you will call upon me. You will come and pray to me." And then God says this, "I will hear you. I will hear you." Just understand this morning that every time that you've gone to the throne of grace, God has heard you. And not only that, there's a verse in Revelation that tells us that he keeps our tears and prayers in the basket. They're stored up. That's how much he thinks about you and I coming to him and weeping and praying before him. See, what we discover is that God doesn't have a switch to silent button at 10 p.m. and a switch notifications back on at 8 a.m. Isn't that wonderful? His ear, got to make sure to play it at the beginning, his ear is always open. And David says in Psalm 3 verse 5, "I lay down and slept. I woke again." And this is what he says. I think this is so lovely. "For the Lord sustained me." For the Lord sustained me. I can sleep. You can sleep. And we do. Every one of us. But he never sleeps. He never sleeps. We can sleep because while we are in a state of sleep or forced unconsciousness, we can rest assured that he never slumbers. Not even for 40 winks. And he will sustain us. It's very often that I'll go through a day and I just need to have a quick 10 minutes to give me a boost. I know that if I don't have that 10 minutes, I'm not going to get through to the end of the day. I need it to boost me, to pick me up. But not with God. Not with God. He is our great, almighty, omnipotent God. And he's my helper. He's my helper, but he's your helper as well. He's our helper. It's like as if we can say, "I can sleep safe and sound because I have the best security guard ever." You can say it. You can sleep safe and sound because you have the best security guard ever. And he is the God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. So that's just two reasons why I want to continually lift my eyes to the Lord or to the hills. Because I know that in this unstable world, I need stability. And it comes from Him. And it comes from His Word. And I need security. And I've got a God who never sleeps, never slumbers. And He watches over His own. So I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Well, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So keep looking to that. Keep standing firm upon the word of God. Keep being stable in this unstable world. And know the protection of Almighty God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home, as you commit everything to Him. Amen.